Jesus, our Savior. We're gonna live forevermore. I'm going to a city.
I'm going to a city.
There'll be no more night. I'm going to a city where Jesus is the light. The trumpet's gonna sound and I'll be called away. I'm going to a city someday. To see Jesus, he's gonna call me by name. I'm going to a city.
I'm going to a city.
There'll be no more night. I'm going to a city where Jesus is the light. The trumpet's gonna sound and I'll be called away. I'm going to a city someday.
Open your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How many of you are glad that you're going to heaven? You're glad that you're saved. Let me change that. How many of you teenagers are glad that you're saved? Well, so that pretty well settles it. That tells us what our problem is. If you're a teenager and you're glad that you're saved, stand up. Yeah. All right. Good. You can be seated. If you're in your 20s and you're glad that you're saved, stand up. Well, listen, man, there's a devil had some in God's group everywhere you find them. If you're 30 and up and glad you're going to heaven, stand up. Amen. Now, hey, young preachers, learn something there. Okay, you notice I stopped singling them out after a little while. But let me tell you, God not only wants us to be excited about going to heaven, God wants us to be excited about the journey. He wants us to be excited about our walk with Him, about living our Christian life here in a world that's going to hell. My soul, we're His rescuers. We're His heralds of the gospel. We're the ones to tell people about Jesus. And if we are not excited about the journey, we're not going to have many wanting to join us on the trip. Now, if you're going to enjoy your Christian life, you listen to your preacher. If you're going to enjoy your Christian life, you're going to have to learn to live a spiritual Christian life. You can't enjoy Christianity and walk the fringes. You can't enjoy Christianity and be a friend of the world. You can't enjoy Christianity and cheat on God's Word and God's will for your life. If you're going to have the joy of the Lord in you that puts the spark in your eyes and the sound of joy in your voice, you're going to have to learn to walk with Christ as a spiritual Christian. And that's what I want to talk to you about for a little while tonight. I want to ask the question, are you a spiritual Christian? Now, I'm not preaching to the Sunday morning crowd and asking, are you a Christian? I believe if you're here on Sunday night, 99% of you have already been saved. But are you spiritual? Is your Christian life a joy? Or are you miserable? Some of our young people and some of our young adults act like if mama and daddy had let them, they'd go back to the devil. God would have us to enjoy living for Him, and we can. I enjoy my life. I'm going to have a good time even if it hurts. I'm talking about a happy time, a joyous time. But we can't do that if we don't learn how to be spiritual Christians. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14, stand with me please, but the natural man, underline that natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That word judgeth there means he understands spiritual things. He discerns spiritual things. He's got spiritual discernment. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Talking about spiritual Christians. In verse number 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Now underline that statement, that spiritual. And then carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ. Underline that, babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe? Even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he that planteth is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Father, help me tonight as I bring this message to be a help and a blessing to people I love dearly. I want with all my heart for our church family to be spiritual, to enjoy the blessings of living for Jesus Christ, to enjoy being a Christian, to be able to deal with problems and heartaches and circumstances of life in a spiritual manner and not in a fleshly and carnal manner. Now, Lord, I need your help tonight. Fill me with thy Spirit. Help me as I bring the message to make clear the thoughts you've given me and apply them to our hearts. and put in our hearts, we that are truly saved, that yearning to be spiritual Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In our text, we're introduced to four different types of people. First of all, we read in verse 14 of chapter 2 about the natural man. Now, the natural man, as used here in the Scripture, is an unsaved person. He's never been born again. He is a person that has been born physically and has lived his life without ever knowing what it is to know Jesus as Savior, or to have sins forgiven, or to have the Holy Spirit of God indwell him and live within him. He is a natural man. He is what all people are who are without Christ as Savior. Natural men. They're unsaved. And then in verse number 15, he says, "But he that is spiritual." So there is such a thing as a spiritual person. And then verse number 1 of chapter 3, he said, "I could not come unto you as unto spiritual." Now, a spiritual person is a saved person who is spiritual. He is spiritual. Now, in the Christian sense, only the saved can be spiritual. The unsaved can be religious. The unsaved can be superstitious. But the unsaved can never be spiritual. And then there's the statement in verse number 1 of chapter 3 of babes in Christ. Now, who is this person or these people that described as babes in Christ? I think they fall into two categories. First of all, they're Christians who have been saved, truly saved, but they've never grown spiritually. They've never grown spiritually because they've been saved such a short time. They have not had time to grow to spiritual maturity. And then there's a group of Christians like these here, perhaps, of whom he is speaking in his letter to the Corinthians, that have been saved for some time, but neither have they grown spiritually. Instead of being spiritual giants for God, they're spiritually retarded babes in Christ. They have no understanding of spiritual things. And then the fourth group of people we see here are carnal Christians. Carnal Christians. They're truly saved, but they're carnal. Now, what is a carnal Christian? Well, God tells us right here in the Word of God, verse number 3. "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal?" So we see, first of all, carnal Christians are Christians filled with envy and jealousy of one another. They're always having that problem of jealous over what somebody else is doing or somebody else has. And then verse number 3 says there's strife among you. Carnal Christians can't get along. The person that makes unity possible in our hearts is not in control of the life. So there's strife. There's strife, inward fighting, in the church, in the youth department, among teenagers, among church families. Inward fighting. That's what carnal Christians do. They're always finding problems and faults with someone else. And then he says there's divisions. Carnal Christians always find themselves in little cliques. This little group of teenagers over here, and there's another group over here, and another group over there, and it's kind of like gangs. Christian gangs have nothing to do with God. They're carnal. But it's not just kids. It's in adults also, where you get with your little group and everybody else in the church and go to the devil. You'll help your little group when they're in trouble, but when somebody else is hurting or suffering, they're on their own. divisions, divisions. And then he makes that statement about carnal Christians and says, and you walk as men. And that statement there means you walk according to the counsel of men and not the counsel of God. I'm amazed at people today that want you to give them counsel like they want to hear. They don't want to hear from God's Word. Carnal Christians. Carnal Christians. And then he even gives an illustration of carnal Christians. For while one saith, I'm of Paul, another said, I'm Apollos. Let me get it down to our church. Well, I'm not coming Wednesday night because I like Brother Todd and Brother Tom's preaching. I'm not going to come next Sunday because Brother Todd's preaching and preacher's not preaching. I like preacher. That's carnality. God said it was. It can't be defined and illustrated any plainer than what it's illustrated in the Word of God here. Now there are many other verses that describe the carnal Christian. But I want to talk to you about being spiritual because many here have gotten very good at being carnal. I want to talk to you about being spiritual Christians. Now what is a spiritual Christian? Well, let me say first of all, a person is not spiritual because he belongs to a church or Sunday school. Neither are you spiritual teenagers because you come to end teens. You're not spiritual because you show up at prayer meeting every now and then. We're not spiritual because we belong to a church or a Sunday school. We're not spiritual just because we attend regularly. If you don't attend regularly, you're certainly not spiritual. You're not spiritual only because you pray. The Pharisees prayed. Jesus called them hypocrites, not spiritual. Neither are you spiritual because you've got a few standards. The Pharisees had standards, but they weren't spiritual. Jesus said, you may be clean on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. You know, those Pharisees remind me more and more of Baptists because they're bragging about all the things they didn't do. And they didn't do anything that was spiritual. They gave tithes. And I'm for giving tithes of everything. Jesus said, you Pharisees ought to give your tithes. You do and you ought to, but that don't make you spiritual. They fasted on a regular basis. They're going to do something some of you who claim to be spiritual Christians won't do this week. They fasted and prayed regularly. A Christian may be do all these things and still not be spiritual. Some people think spirituality is bad posture. Posture. They walk, God bless him, he's so spiritual. No, he's got a hurt back. Or bad grammar does not mean that you're spiritual. Bless God, you can't be spiritual and go to these cemeteries, go to Bible colleges. That's a bunch of nonsense. Poor grammar doesn't make you spiritual. Just exactly what is a spiritual Christian? Let me get right into the message. Number one, a spiritual Christian walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. A spiritual Christian walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hey, in all circumstances, isn't it amazing how spiritual we can be when everything's going right? But we have a problem in our family, and we revert back to carnality, And oh, when spirituality ought to shine at its greatest is when there's problems we're going through, difficulties we're facing. A spiritual Christian walks after, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Over in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and verse number 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." God wants us to walk in the Spirit. You say, what does that mean? It means to be led by the Spirit. It means we as Christians come to that place where we give over the leadership and authority for our life and our will to the Spirit of God. It means we die to our want-tos so that God might manifest His will and His want-tos in our life. There's a big difference between where the Spirit leads and where the flesh leads. In fact, I know of no book in the Bible that makes it more clear than the book of Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 19. Verse 18 says, "If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." Here, if you're going to walk in the flesh, here's what you're going to major on. Adultery. Fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness. Now, all of those have to do with sexual immorality and perversion to its worst form. That's what the flesh wants. That's what it lives and thinks about and strives after. And then in verse number 20, the flesh goes after idolatry. The flesh finds it easier to worship some Hollywood starlet or star than it is to worship God. To worship some rock star than to worship the God of the Bible. The Bible says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, he said that is the work of the flesh. Now, that is the work of the flesh before salvation. But may I say to you, the work of the flesh does not change after salvation. When you allow flesh to rule and flesh to have its way, the flesh is depraved. The flesh is sold under sin. The flesh is twisted and knotted and gnarled because of the depravity that is ours. And that's a part of every one of us. You don't have to learn these things. You don't have to be taught these things. They come naturally in this body of flesh. So a spiritual Christian does not walk after the flesh. See, we've been born again. We've been saved. A work, a miracle has taken place in our life. And God has not only saved us and forgiven us, He has moved inside of us. And now this body is His temple. And oh, what a terrible, terrible thing when we as Christians want to involve the one who lives in us in the works of the flesh. Spiritual Christians led by the Spirit of God, not the works of the flesh. The spiritual Christian does all the good things the Pharisees did, but they did it for the right motive. They did it for His glory and for His honor. And they did it because they love Him. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, Bill Garner was talking about loving God, loving our neighbors. He's talking about those that mock Christians and call us legalists because we want to separate from the world and be different from the world and not be involved in all the things the world's involved in because it does not honor God. Now, I don't not do those things because I have to. The spiritual Christian will do those things because they want to, just as a way to manifest their love and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the spiritual Christian does the things the Pharisee, the good things the Pharisees did, but they did it with the right motive, to honor God. The spiritual Christian, when led by the Spirit, will be a faithful and powerful witness to others. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me, Jesus said. Now, this isn't make-believe stuff. This is what God says will happen when the Holy Spirit of God is in control of our life. But I promise you that Christians in 2009 get up in the morning, they're more concerned about what they're going to wear or getting their little phone and seeing who tweeted, putting on their face. Hey guys, it's a wonderful thing when you get a woman that does not have to put on their face. Comb their hair. They spend all of the time getting ready to go out into the world, and yet give no thought about walking in the Spirit that day. And I promise you, the spiritual Christian is going to give more thought about their relationship to Christ and their being yielded to the Spirit of God than they are what they look like to the world. That's our problem. We want to be pleasing to the world. And that's the dumbest thing yet, because Jesus said, if you're saved, the world's not going to like you. They didn't love Jesus. He said, they're not going to love you. You say, but I'm going to be like them. Well, then they hate you for being a hypocrite, because they know as a Christian you ought not be acting like that. A spiritual Christian walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. A spiritual Christian is one who has the mind of Christ. You say, what do you mean? We think like Him. You say, how can I think like Christ? Think according to Scripture. This is His mind. This is His heart. The spiritual Christian will want to know what God's Word says about it before they get involved in it. The spiritual Christian will seek spiritual counsel from the Word of God and from a godly counsel before they get involved in worldly things. A spiritual Christian is one who has the mind of Christ. He understands the Word of God. You say, well, my problem is I don't understand it. Well, I can understand that, and I'm going to tell you why. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, if you're going to understand God's Word, first of all, you got to be saved, and the author of God's Word must be living in you, and it's His job to teach us and lead us in His truth. Now, if you run around telling people, well, I just can't understand the Bible, right away you're telling me that either you're so carnal and such a baby in Christ, you've never put yourself in the place where you can grow up spiritually, or you're lost as a duck in a whirlwind. A spiritual Christian is one who has the mind of Christ. Well, I'm going through this problem. How am I going to handle it? First place we ought to go is, what does God say about it? What does God's Word say? You say, well, I don't exactly know. Then go to your pastor. Go to a man of God, a spiritual person. Don't go to some carnal worldling to get advice about the Bible. I'm amazed at some Christians today. Most of their Bible knowledge came from Hollywood movies. You're pretty ignorant spiritually. What does God say about it? Now here's our problem. We have Christians that would like for us to think they're spiritual that don't want to do what God says we ought to do. We're going to revert back to the flesh. I'll show them. And you end up showing hurt to yourself. He knows the spiritual Christian has the mind of Christ. That means he understands the Word of God. And if he does not understand it, he seeks counsel so he can understand it. Spiritual Christian is one who knows the will of God for his life. My goodness, Jesus saved me for a purpose, and I'm going to live my Christian life for 15 years and never ask God, what is your will for my life? What purpose do you have for me as a Christian in this world? Honey, I got news for you. He didn't save you just so you could go on a fling here for you. He saved you for Him. He saved you for His purpose and His will. And the spiritual Christian understands the will of God for his life. You say, but how can I know the will of God? I promise you, if you'll spend enough time in here reading it and then praying over it, there's going to be a voice, a still small voice that speaks to you about what God would have you do. Most Christians today do not put themselves in a place of spiritual activity where they could know. God would have to work through cell phones and internets and we are fools for fads. Fools for fad. You know what's going on now? I remember when email was the fad. Everybody was doing it, but email's kind of old thing now. Then there's Facebook. And dear God, people get on Facebook. I don't understand it. I don't understand how our kids can get on their cell phone and use one finger to say words that ought not be said. Reveal things about their life and their body that ought not be revealed. And take pictures, immoral, ungodly pictures, and put them on that thing so the whole world can see it. That's dumber than a rock. You're worse than ignorant. You're ignorant. I don't understand it. And then this tweeting or tweetering or teetering or tottering or whatever it is. I don't understand that. I'm going to tell you why I think it's so popular. It feeds the baser side of our nature that wants to gossip and know everybody else's business. Thank you. I'm talking about the spiritual Christian has the... I wonder if Christ tweets. You do know he's reading everything you're writing. And you do know he's checking your face page out. I had an evangelist call me and asked me, said, Brother Smith, would you send me a picture so I can post you as my friend on my face page or Facebook or whatever it is? Now ask my staff. Some of the ladies were there when I got the call. And I said, you, and he was asking through them, and I said, you tell him I don't have any friends on page Facebook. And I don't want my picture pasted on somebody's Facebook. Don't want it. Do you know that's going to be out there forever? One of these days you're going to go apply for a job. They're going to pull up a picture of you nude. We hadn't got a whole lot of sense because we're not spiritual. We don't have spiritual discernment. We're letting the flesh rule over us. We have no understanding of the will of God and the purpose of God. You say, but I know some Christians that tweet. Yeah, I do too. I believe they could probably be more spiritual Christians if they'd use that time for Him. When this texting first came out, I can't even say it. You know, somebody that owns this stuff is coming up with it because it makes money for them. See, they get it on both ends. They're making money on both ends. You send me a stupid text, and it's costing me my minutes. You thief. If you got something to say to me, come to me personally and say it. Write me a letter. Hey, just use the telephone. None of this is in my notes. But I got made fun of this morning for tweetering. And I know what it is. I know I'm not saying it correctly, and I'm not saying it correctly now on purpose. It doesn't deserve to be spoken of on purpose with a sound mind. They send me a text. And I notice something's on my phone that I've never seen there, and it says, view now, and I push this button. And it's a foreign language. I mean, man, I'm a bad speller, but they're worse. Nothing is spelled correctly. And I just pushed delete, get rid of it, man. And I called this person. I said, don't text me again. You want to say something? Say it in English. Say it where I can hear it. You say, you're just an old fogey. Yes, I am. And I'm getting older and more fogier every week. A spiritual Christian is one who has the mind of Christ. And he's able to accept the hard things and the deep things of life and the Word of God and continue to walk in the will of God. A spiritual Christian is not thrown into a backsliding stupor because somebody breaks their heart. Somebody disappoints them. Dear God, if that happened... If that was the result of somebody disappointing you, I'd never have a spiritual day in my life. I've been disappointed by 10,000 Christians who are walking in the flesh and not the Spirit. You're never disappointed by spiritual Christians. Then let me say quickly, the spiritual Christian is one who's filled with the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is produced in his life. Now, a spiritual Christian is one who is filled with the Spirit. You can't walk in the Spirit. You can't walk according to the Spirit if you're not filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit does not mean you got more. Doesn't mean you got a double portion of Him. It means you allowed Him to have control of your life. You got out of the driver's seat and you let Him have the driver's seat. You put your will on the shelf and yielded to God's will for your life. And when that happens, a marvelous thing happens in our life that we cannot fake and we cannot counterfeit. The Holy Spirit produces His fruit in us. Oh, you don't ever have to ask a Spirit-filled Christian, are you Spirit-filled? The fruit will do the talking. Brother Misraeli gave me a fruit-bearing pomegranate. And I go out and look at my fruit-bearing pomegranate tree bush about 4 times a week. It got nipped by the freeze. And it's not coming out as quickly as it should have, but it's going to make it. I can't wait for it to have fruit on it. We'll walk back there and everybody goes by there and say, what kind of bush is that? I promise you, when the fruit's hanging on it, they'll know it. They'll know it. I got a fig tree I just set out this year, just a little way from it. When that fig tree starts producing fruit, nobody's going to come out and have to ask, is that a fruit tree? Fruit's going to be all over it. Because that's what fruit trees do. They produce fruit. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our life. He produces His fruit. And you can read about the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians, beginning in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. But the point I want to make is this. The Spirit-filled Christian will be used by the Holy Spirit to produce His fruit in our lives. Love, joy, and peace. Do you have trouble seeing love, joy, and peace in a person? Brother, when it's there, it's evident. It just shines. Love, joy, and peace. That has to do with our Christian relationship. Love, joy, and peace has to do with our love of God and the love of God flowing in us and through us to others. Joy is not fun. Joy, it's a rejoicing, a joy. Regardless of the circumstances you go through. Peace. It's that confidence that it's going to be all right because Jesus Christ is still in charge. And then there's long suffering, gentleness, and goodness. And these three parts of the fruit of the Spirit has to do with our Christian relationship toward others. How many Christians do you know that are long-suffering? Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Boy, it's wonderful to be around people like that. We all have faults. I'm glad there's Christian people who are spiritual that are long-suffering with me. Isn't it amazing how we want everybody to be long-suffering with us, but we're never long-suffering with anyone else? Gentleness. Gentleness. Goodness. And then the last three are faith, meekness, and temperance. That has to do with our relationship with God. First three with our own inward man, love, joy, and peace. The second three with our relationship towards others. And our last three has to do with our relationship toward God. Spiritual Christians. One more thing and I'll be through tonight. The spiritual Christian is one who seeks to lift the fallen and restore them back to the will of God. Look at verse number 1 of Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So the spiritual Christian seeks to lift up the fallen and restore the fallen back to the place where God can get glory from their lives once again. Carnal Christians gossip about them. Spit on them. Kick them when they're down. Spiritual Christians reach down and try to pick them up and teaches them to lean on them as they try to bring them back to God. Are you a spiritual Christian? I want to be. With all my heart and soul, I want to be. You say, but preacher, I've tried that and I failed. Try again. And when you fail 10 more times, try again. Every time you falter and fail and you try again, you're getting a little closer to that place where you can walk and live as a spiritual Christian. Are you a spiritual Christian? Is there any sign in your life, any evidence that you're a spiritual Christian? If you're saved, shouldn't you want to be? Because being a spiritual Christian is being like my Savior. And isn't it the predetermined will of God that we be conformed to His image? Are you a spiritual Christian? Let me challenge you. Take inventory of your life. Take inventory of all your involvements. Take inventory of your spirit and your attitude. Come to the conclusion, where are you? Are you the unsaved person? Are you a babe in Christ? Are you a carnal Christian? Or are you spiritual? So I don't know how to start this thing. Good place is at an altar of prayer where we confess to Him our failures and our faults and our sins and ask for His cleansing. And then once we've taken care of the cleaning up business, we take care of the yielding business and ask Him to take hold of us and use us for His glory. Fill us with His Spirit so that we too can become a spiritual Christian. Father, that's our message tonight. God, would You speak to our hearts? Would you help us, Heavenly Father, to be honest about who we are and what we are in our Christian life? God, help us if we call Your name and claim You to be our Savior. Help us that we're never satisfied with being carnal or babes in Christ when we can grow and become spiritual and be what You would have us to be. Oh, my God, speak to our hearts tonight. I want our church to lean toward You, to live toward You, to desire Your will. I want our people, dear God, to be spiritual Christians. Not fakes or frauds or fools, but spiritual Christians. Help us as individuals to seek it in our own heart and our own life. And Father, we've got enough people hurting with problems and failures and faults in our own church that spiritual Christians are going to be busy trying to lift up and restore the fallen. Help us, O God, how we need spiritual Christians to fill the places of ministry and service in our church. Spiritual Christians to serve and lead and be examples. Work in us. Work on us so You can work through us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.